I want to focus this morning on one phrase in particular. It's there in verse 6. The angel has just scared the two Marys half to death. Then he says to them, "He's not here, he's risen, just as he said." Just as he said. That's the little phrase we're going to concentrate on. Just as he said. Most of the time things don't turn out the way we planned. Maybe you're in a football tipping competition trying to guess which team would win. It's almost impossible to pick a full round correctly. 8 from 8, it's incredibly difficult. Or lucky. There's always something unexpected that happens. Or what about weather forecasting? Even the experts get it wrong. They say it's going to rain and it doesn't. Or they say it'll be cold and it's stinking hot. A few years ago there was an earthquake in South America and seismologists predicted a tsunami would race across the Pacific and hit our shores sometime during Sunday. Authorities encouraged people not to stay too near the coast. Beaches were closed. Apparently the general public had about as much confidence in seismologists as they do in meteorologists, weather forecasters. Bondi Beach was apparently one of the busiest days ever. And what was the result? How good were their predictions? Well, there was barely a ripple of difference, apparently, between the surf on that Sunday and any other day. It doesn't work for weather forecasters, seismologists, or footy tippers, but it does work for Jesus, just as he said. Jesus knew it was coming, because his heavenly Father had planned it from all eternity. He'd warned his disciples. Do you remember back in chapter 16, verse 21, we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." He didn't hold back any of the detail. And as Peter caught a glimpse of the horror of the days ahead, he pleaded with Jesus, "Never, Lord. This should never happen to you." At which point Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Even though Jesus knew in every gory detail what would happen, he knew that this was his Father's plan, and so he keeps heading for Jerusalem. And he's on his way to Jerusalem and the disciples can't work it out. And so he stops for a moment to tell them why they're going to Jerusalem, even though that's where everyone is who wants to kill him. So chapter 20, verse 17, we read, "As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers. They'll condemn him to death, turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged and crucified. On the third day he'll be raised to life.'" There he is, he said it again. He knows it all and he keeps pressing on. And he knows it all because he knows the scriptures. It's the scriptures that speak about him and the plan. If we jump forward to chapter 26... we read about how he knows that Judas will betray him. Verse 23, Jesus said, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him." Or a bit further on, Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." He knew it was happening because he knew his scriptures. A little further on, verse 36, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is overwhelmed with sorrow. Verse 39, he knows what's coming, but he prays, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." The cup of his Father's righteous wrath. He submits himself to the plan, submits himself to the restraints of the guards, submits himself to the blows of the Jewish leaders, submits himself to the nails of Roman soldiers, and then submits his spirit into his father's hands. Just as it's written, just as he said. And now Sunday morning, just as he said, God raises him from death. All according to the plan of the ages. Verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen, just as he said." Forsaken on Friday, but now vindicated on Sunday. On Friday, God's wrath for human sin fell on the only human who never deserved it. But now on Sunday, wrath is satisfied. The penalty is paid, the night is past, the dawn has arrived, and on Sunday God raises him from death because it's impossible for death to hold him, and the Father declares him Lord over sin and death, declares him conqueror, and presents him to the whole universe as his beloved Son, his Messiah, his Saviour. So that's the first point. Jesus rose just as he said. But that's not all. Just as he said, we see popping up again. Point two, Jesus meets his disciples in Galilee just as he said he would. Back in chapter 26, verse 32, he didn't just predict that his disciples would flee and would abandon him, but that he would meet them again. 26:32. But after I have risen... I will go ahead of you into Galilee, just as he said. And it happens. The angel puts the plan in motion. She says to the women, "Go and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." And then in verse 10, Jesus himself appears to the women and gives the same command. "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now, Matthew is the only gospel where we read about this, where we read about Jesus telling the disciples to go to Galilee. And he's also the only one who tells us about the Great Commission that Jesus gives the disciples in verses 18 to 20. And I wonder if the two are not connected. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus says to the women, "Go and tell the disciples to go and tell them that I'll be with them when they go there." And he is, just like he said he would. And then when he's in Galilee, he gives them another command. He says, "Go. Go to all the nations." And there's also a promise that comes with that command to go. "Surely I will be with you always. Go, and I'll be with you. Go, and I'll be with you." And I wonder if Jesus hasn't done it this way to help the disciples to trust him. He tells the disciples to go to Galilee and that he'll be there, and he is, just as he said. And then he gives them the command, and that gives them the confidence to trust that command, that greater command, that he'll be with them as they go into all the world. So just as he said, he meets them in Galilee. Point three, just as he said, he has all authority on heaven and earth. Down in verse 16, the disciples make it back to Galilee. They've left the big city. Their world has been turned upside down. This is as close as they're ever going to be to feeling comfortable. And they meet Jesus on a mountain. Now, once again, it's only Matthew that tells us about a mountain. We don't know which mountain. But in Matthew, all the important events happen on a mountain. The Sermon on the Mount. The Transfiguration on a mountain. Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water after being up on a mountain praying. Just like Moses, who meets God on a mountain. You see, mountains are where God meets men. That's what we've got here. God the Son meeting with men. And he begins in verse 16, "All authority in heaven on earth, in heaven and on earth has been given to me," just as he said it would. God raises him to prove that he has authority. He had to endure the guilt and the shame of the cross before he could receive the honour and the authority. Satan had already offered Jesus all authority. Do you remember that in the temptation? He offers Jesus the kingdoms of the world if he bowed down to Satan. But Satan knew that his authority would not come. Jesus knew his authority would not come from Satan. The soldiers and the leaders mocked him and ridiculed him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. "Come down from the cross if you really are the Son of God." But Jesus knew that the road to his authority, his crowning, was not in coming down from a cross, but in staying on the cross. It lay in obedience. It didn't lay in grabbing hold of his crown. Philippians 2 puts it like this: Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Jesus does have all authority. He is reigning now, just as he said. We have to trust that, because at times the world doesn't look like Jesus is reigning, does it? At times sin and death and suffering look like they are in charge instead. At times it looks like Satan's forces have the authority, have the upper hand. But it is just as Jesus said. Those are nothing more than the final desperate bombardments from a retreating, defeated enemy. The war is over. The victory has been won. Jesus is victorious. All authority has been given to him, just as he said. And as a result, just as he said, we have a job. We have a job to get the news out that he has all authority. We have a job to go and make disciples. You see, it's because Jesus has all authority that we have to go and make disciples. You follow the logic in verse 18? Jesus said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples." If Jesus has all the authority, and if everything under heaven and earth bows down before him, then it makes sense to follow someone like that. An experienced bush guide who leads you through the rainforest, you follow him. An expert rock climber who leads you up the cliff face, you follow him. The award-winning chef sharing her favourite recipe, you follow her. The one with the authority leads you through life. But more specifically, if Jesus has authority over heaven and earth, then that means he has authority over you and me. And so if he tells you, if he commands you to do something, then you should do it. You should do it as a priority, as the core business of your life, as the hub that everything else revolves around. Our core business, says Jesus, is to be making disciples, calling other people to submit to Jesus, the one who has all authority. Our core business is to call them and teach them and encourage them and lead them and plead with them. Whoever we meet, as we go, aim to move each person a little closer to following Jesus. That's our job in life. If Jesus says, "Go make disciples," then we should do it, just as he said, because he has all authority. He deserves our obedience, because he's risen from the dead. Fourth point. Finally, Jesus has made the statement, all authority has been given to me. He's given the command, go and make disciples. And finally comes a promise. A statement, a command, and finally a promise. And they're the last words in the whole of Matthew's Gospel. Surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And it is, and it will be, just as he said. He will surely be with us always to the end of the age. Three parts to that promise. How certain can we be? Well, surely, says Jesus. Undoubtedly, you can bank on it. How long will he be with us for? Well, always. It's literally all days. He's with us all days. That means good days. He's with us. Bad days, he's with us. Long days, short days, he's with us. Way back in chapter 1, the angel appeared to Joseph and tells him his wife Mary is going to have a baby. He's to call Jesus because he'll save his people from his sins. And then Matthew tells us all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's chapter 1. And here in chapter 28, Jesus promises that he will always be with us. A name that was true, not just when he walked among us on earth, but even better, now that he doesn't walk among us, now that he's seated at his Father's right hand, he's with us and in us by his Spirit, always with us, comforting, strengthening, guiding, equipping us for every day. And the third part of the promise, he says that he'll be with us to the end of the age. This is no short-term, short-sighted, instant friendship. God is eternal. His purpose is eternal. He's created us to be eternal. He's created us to be longer than this world will actually last. But even into eternity, when this world runs down and God brings in a new heaven and earth, and even when that new heaven and earth has been going for a few million years, Jesus will still be with us, just as he said. Do you find that hard to believe? Well, don't, because it has all happened so far, just as he said. And so you can trust that everything else that's still to come will go just the same way, just as he said. So fall at his feet like those two Marys and worship him. Lay your life before him. Live for him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you all days to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful promise. A promise that we can rely on and be confident in because you raised Jesus from the dead. These are not words that are easily spoken and unsupported, but they are words that come from your Son, who you have declared Lord and Messiah, victor over sin and death. And so we bow and worship before him. We offer our lives and pray that you might use us as we go to make disciples and as we have you with us through your Holy Spirit to the very end of the age. Amen.